Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 24th, 2014, and our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Before Michael comes on, I just wanted to mention I have been lacking in mentioning for Dora on Wednesdays that it is Possibility Wednesday. She used to come on, and she's had a change in her job and everything, and she's not been able to join us on Wednesdays, but I told her that I would continue mentioning Possibility Wednesdays. And it started out, we were Unstuck Wednesdays and looking at how different people would always just be stuck, whether it was doing worksheets or stuck in life or whatever. And then we decided to change that to be more positive terminology instead of focusing on being stuck, that it was Possibility Wednesdays. And so today we hold that everybody has some awesome possibilities. And with this show right now and the support behind it, we open it up for you to call in and ask your questions, and we're here to support you. Dr. Tim has also joined us, but let's first welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We have another beautiful day here in Illinois, just outside of Chicago in Woodstock, Illinois. Looking out the window in a beautiful green backyard, absolutely awesome day, bright sunshine. And we are in deep appreciation. We had a young lady at the workshop last night who came into to the intensive, or put me into the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and with no knowledge whatsoever of this work, and shared with me last night in tears how much her life has changed in just a matter of 3 or 4 days. And it's always most gratifying and most amazing to watch how this simple tool of forgiveness changes lives. Now, there are people who look at the reality management worksheet. By the way, probably a little later today, the latest version of the worksheet will be online. We've actually made a fairly major renovation in the worksheet. It's going to start out a little differently than it did, but I think it takes it to a new level of clarity. I got Dr. Tim's input last night, and he felt the same way. So, but what amazes me is just how someone who's living in a world of what I would call brainwash that hostility, fear, grief, rage is all somebody else's fault, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just stuck. Today being Possibility Wednesdays, and that being the opposite of being stuck, to begin to acquire the tools and how quickly things change. You know, we actually stood outside at the intermission last night as she was in tears and talking about some of the traumas and the pain that she's been experiencing, and that now she sees a way out. She sees that she's got tools. She's been able to collapse some of those painful realities, and actually has volunteered to perhaps do a translation into another language. We'll see. We spoke about solidifying that toward the end of the week, and so we may have a new language online with the book coming up. So, it's pretty awesome to just watch how simple it is. And I'll just as a very brief synopsis of the forgiveness process, and you can get this more in depth by going to our website, www.whyagain.org. In the center page, you see a bullseye. If you click on that bullseye, it'll open a series of links. The first link will give you chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? It's about how to do the forgiveness process. And that's currently being edited. There'll be a new edition of that coming out. And then there's the latest worksheet, which I assume will probably get finished. I'm finishing some details on it. It might be tomorrow before we get it up there, depending on how Genius Schedule goes and how I get to completion. There's some finicky little details. If you've been looking at the worksheet, the last couple of renditions have not had the definitions in them, and so I'm trying to work out the spacing, working on getting the spacing correct so that we can include the definitions in the worksheet as well. So we're delighted that you're with us, and if you take that worksheet process, and the simplest form of it, is, and the bookmark has a simple form on it, is to locate the goal that you hold that is causing your mind to use some form of pain or fear to build the output of your mind, to build your perception. And then, once you've located that goal the way that you want things to be, you simply cancel that goal. Of course, sounds ridiculous because I want it to be this way, and that's a reasonable thing to have happen. Why would you tell me to cancel my goal? Well, when you hold a goal, and the goal you hold causes your mind to use hostility or fear to build your perception or your guidance, then you're in trouble. Because when hostility or fear enters perception, hostility and fear degrades perception. Your guidance system is now degraded. It's defiled. So the way that you remove, the way that you access and remove the information that defiles your guidance system and takes you out of life is by canceling the goal. And what happens is, by canceling the goal, you collapse whatever the reality is, whatever the perception is at the moment, you collapse it. And once you collapse it, it opens at the same time a pathway into direct access to content that before you had no direct access to. And, of course, one of the steps in the worksheet is focusing in and bringing active love into the space. When active love meets with dissociated content begins to dissolve. Now, I don't care what the world has told you, how they're going to bully you, how they're going to run it, how they're going to, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that, and you're going to always feel this way, and you're always have been that way, and you're always going to be this way. That's all a fraud. That's all a lie. When you bring active love into your mind, which it is your birthright to do, and you access what is unlike love within your structure, when those two things meet, that which is unlove simply begins to dissolve. Now, there's no big thing you have to do. You cancel the goal. You collapse the perception that's degraded by hostility or fear. You have direct access to the hostility or fear, and in the presence of love, that begins to dissolve. As it dissolves, you'll be free of it. And that which yesterday may have run your whole life, all of a sudden will dissipate and disappear, and you'll be free of it. There is a next step in the process, and that is that sometimes the things we face are old genetic dynamics. And when you recognize how limited the processing power is of the human mind, it's an amazing device, but it is limited in the amount of information it can process in any given time frame. There's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame, which is about a 25th of a second, where there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity happening in your brain, the max amount of information that goes into building your perception, your guidance system, is 9 bits. Tiny, tiny piece. And by canceling the goal, you get to access what's under the surface, what's hidden. And when you bring what's hidden forward in the presence of love, whatever doesn't belong in that structure instantly and immediately begins to dissolve, and you get free of it. And that's what we're going to do, to free you of literally all hostility and fear. And no matter what's happened in your bloodline, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what kind of terrible things have been done to you, no matter what kind of terrible things you've done, if you engage and begin to forgive, you will remove all of that content. You will be free of it. And you're here to support you getting free of it. And so that's our project. That's what we're working on together. And we're delighted that you're here to join us for the show. Dr. Pym, we've chatted a couple of times already today, and we're delighted that you're with us and certainly appreciate all that you do to support us. How are you today, and what do you have to share with us?
Well, I'm delightfully well and happy to be hosting you and Jeannie this week, and I have great gratitude to both of you for all the work you're doing, and I just want to mention on the radio show, everywhere I can, great thanks for all of the people at the church who are volunteering their time to help set up, to clean up, to present delightful beverages and snacks between your sessions, and it's a wonderful team of people, and the vast majority of them have been in attendance in our support group, either regularly or intermittently over the years. So I have great gratitude for this work and the people it has attracted into my life as I use these tools. So that's my first offering. And
I'll second that gratitude.
And my next offering is something I was going to try and get to yesterday during the parent or Monday during the parent-teacher talk, but I couldn't find it and pull it up on my thing. But there's a wonderful list of things to do, 12 ways to get past your child breaking into the terrible twos or the no, no, no. And so I posted it on Facebook, and a friend of mine who saw the post shot back a comment that he is currently listening to this book on audio. And he put a big smiley face there. So he thinks it's quite a good book. And the title of the book is Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids. And the article I posted... Pardon me?
I just said, awesome.
Well, and the subtitle is How to Stop Yelling and Start Connecting. So the article that's posted and is there free to read is 12 Ways to Get Past No. And the author's name is Dr. Laura Markham, M-A-R-K-H-A-M. So I just wanted to put that out there. We don't have to make this a parent-teacher Wednesday. It's Possibilities Wednesday. But I think, you know, there are one way to make the segue is to say there are many different possibilities for parents to respond to a child who says no than to be defensive and be angry and think that they have to get the child to stop saying no in order for the parent to be in control or be in charge. And I think this particular author does a very good job. And my comment was that this is done with awareness and compassion. The things on her list can really benefit parents in interacting with younger children and help the parents coach the child into the excitement of being empowered to be able to say no, to be able to say, I want input into how my life goes, and to have the parent coach the child into effective use of their personal sense of agency and their ability to make choices. So that's my offering for today. Beyond that, all I've done all morning is try and get the word out and promote the talks that are happening for the rest of the week and other minor business issues.
Awesome. Well, perhaps we could just say that right now we'll create that as a foundation for next Monday's show and take a look at that material. Sounds awesome.
Wonderful.
Sounds like great input from another genius mind, and it's so nice to have so many genius minds and and awesome beings on the planet to get to play with. Maybe at some point we could get the author to join us on the show one Monday and share some of her insights and expose her work to our broader audience.
Agreed. It is on my list to try to. It's on my list to bring it up again on Monday.
Awesome. Fabulous. Well, much appreciation. And for those who are not aware of where we are, if you happen to be in the Chicagoland area, we are just outside of Chicago, up on the northwest side, and in a little town called Woodstock at Unity in Woodstock. And so tonight, tomorrow night, Friday, we'll be doing a series of workshops. Tonight's the Circle of Life and How to Play It. It's the open workshop. Tomorrow night is
tonight's Circle of Life.
Right. Tomorrow's Laws of Living.
Yep. And then Getting the Stress.
Getting the Stress and Needs Friday night. And we've added an additional workshop. Of course, Saturday we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And Sunday we've decided that we're going to videotape the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop so that we have a video with the latest worksheet on it, which we're going to be publishing later today or tomorrow. And so Sunday afternoon, we'll unveil that worksheet in a live presentation, out of which we anticipate having a brand new video available, a four-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So from 1 to 4 o'clock on Sunday, if you care to join us, we'd be delighted to have you. Woodstock. Then actually, Jeannie and I are going to take a few days off to do some writing and visit with some friends and family up in northern Michigan. And then the next weekend, we'll start with the Spiritual Unity of Nations. We'll be keynoting at that conference. That's Saturday, a week from Saturday, or 2 weeks from Saturday. And then the Sunday, we'll be at Unity of Grand Rapids, the Coptic Center where the Sun Conference is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we'll be at Unity in Grand Rapids doing a full week, similar to the week that we're doing here, different topics, different titles, along with the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing the following Saturday. And then we'll head from there to Lansing, Michigan. We'll do another week there, similar. And then we'll have a few days off, and on the 31st of October, we'll begin a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive, and that will be up in northern Michigan, just south of Lansing, Michigan, a little south and east of Lansing, Michigan, in a little town called Pinckney. So if anybody wants to crank your work up to the next level, come and join us for any and all of those events. Of course, the intensive is a residential workshop. We'll be doing the awesome fresh and raw food regimen that we do. We'll be doing codependence to interdependence, which will include the workshops, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, Healing Through Relationships, Communication, did you hear what I think I said, and Codependence to Interdependence. We'll do all of that in a process format on a live food diet in this really beautiful facility in Pinckney, Michigan. There's a community there that has a community center available, and the community center is this big old, geez, kind of mansion-like building, a beautiful building with big columns, and sits right on the water. And so that will be where we'll be doing our intensive October 31st. And from there, we'll head to Bristol, Tennessee. We'll be working with a medical doctor in Bristol, Dr. Schrenker. We're delighted to have you on our team and to be on your team. And so he's working as we speak to get his patients lined up and for us to be presenting in Bristol, Tennessee. If you're going to be in that area, you're certainly welcome to come and join us. And the next week, we'll be down in Wilmington, North Carolina. We'll be doing a full week of workshops in Wilmington. And from Wilmington, we head to Florida, and we've got a whole tour set up. Julie's been really working on putting that together. So look at the website, look on whyagain.org, and you'll be able to tap into everything that's happening. And we certainly would be delighted if you came and joined us for any and all of that. The latter part of April, we'll be starting a 20-day teacher's training in Florida. We've got a beautiful hotel accommodations available that we're going to be doing that residential intensive. There'll be a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. It's, of course, if people just want to do that intensive, they can come and do that. And then there'll be a 12-day teacher training. Our teacher training used to be 9 days. We've increased it to 12. So so that we've got 3 days to work on the personal code evaluation, which is now available online, and we're going to start to make available to teachers so that they can pinpoint and teach people where their blocks are and give them specific assignments for how to get through those blocks. So that'll be an additional 3 days added to our teacher training. So the prerequisite for that 12-day teacher training is the 9-day Y. So if you want to come and do the whole 20 days and do teacher training, that's great. And teacher training is designed for two reasons. One, for people, of course, who want to teach, but also for people who just want to really deepen their understanding of the Y work. So that Why Is This Happening to Me Again teacher training really spends the whole time, all 9 days, focused on the principles of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So we'd be delighted to have you come and join us. And Jeannie, do we have anything exciting happening in the chat room, anything to be aware of in the way of conversation, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up? My caller number, of course, is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you.
Nobody has their hand up, but the conversation in the chat room, and I actually just got through saying that I was going to ask you to expand on this, a brief mention of depression, and I said depression is anger turned inwards, and anger is a drug to keep from looking at the pain or fear, so would it make sense that to look at what pain or fear around the particular event of losing a grandmother and a pet, what pain or fear around those events are you holding that creates you pouring some blame or guilt on yourself? And then you get angry at that, so that creates the depression. Does that sound reasonable?
I would say it's right on track, that when we turn that energy inward, we shut down our energy field, and usually it is a reflection, especially over the loss of a loved one, whether it's a pet or a human loved one. My take on that is that the reason that we have grief, anger, depression, loss in those situations is not nearly so much because of the loss of the loved one, but all of the unresolved issues we have around the loved one are activated by that person leaving. All of that comes to the surface, and that's what people need to process through. And for those who have the blessing of knowing that a loved one is about to leave and they begin to do their work around their relationship and open communication with that loved one, then when that person decides to leave, when it's time for them to go, they are, embraced in open arms that let them go on to the next step of their eternal lives. And the one who's left behind, while there may be a hole there where there's the loss, the great trauma that so many people go through just is not within them because they've resolved the issues that they have around that loved one. And so to me that becomes a real key in being able to gently, lovingly, and respectfully allow a loved one to go on to the next step in their process. I think it's so important to do. So that would be my take. So I'm in right there with you, Jeannie, right in agreement.
Okay, and also I think I'm correct that in Aramaic that death means present elsewhere, that their energy has just changed form, but that they're still there.
Yes. Yes, in the Aramaic language, if you walked into a store and Charlie owns two stores and, Charlie's wife is there and you say, gee, is Charlie here? And he's not in that store, he's in the other store. In Aramaic, they would say Charlie Fan. He's present elsewhere as opposed to he's finished over and done with. Different process when you look from the point of view of the Aramaic.
Awesome. 646-200-4169. No one has their hand up. If you press 1, you're first in line with no waiting.
Cool. So does anyone have a thought or a question? If we've been having the conversation we've just been having, and you were in a live audience, Tim and I, Jeannie, would be walking down off of the stage, what would your question be of us? What would you be wanting to ask? What would be on your mind? And we invite you to, if you're on the, in the phone queue, push one. Well, sometimes people are nervous. Gee, I have my voice on the air. It might be shaky. And if it is, just take a breath. Let go of that concern. And allow yourself to just really tap into what's your question, what support can we offer to you today? And as we reach out with that support, know that it's not just myself or Dr. Tim or Jeannie, but that there is a whole community of people all over the globe who listen to this show, who are truly here to support you. And as we offer that support, we open the space for questions. We open the space for what part of the conversation we're having perhaps needs clarification for you. And our reason for doing this show is to be here to provide that clarification and to answer your questions to the best of our ability. And, of course, we are blessed by every question that gets asked, because your question is not just for you alone, but it's for everyone who's listening. The people who tap into this show every day, you know, the people who are on the show are there for a reason. They're here for a reason, and maybe your question is the reason that someone else is here today. And while they may not have developed the ability to ask that question on their own, you may simply open an awesome space. I know for me that's one of the blessings of getting to engage in this work for as many years as I have, is that I get to engage in everyone's questions. And I get the benefit of getting to answer those questions. So push one. If you're in the phone queue, that puts your hand up. If you're on one of those stations that we don't have access to, then you can just dial into the show, 646-200-4169. And if you push one, that will put a little hand up in the phone queue, in the control panel, and we will introduce you and we'll get to chat. So, Jeannie, what do we have happening?
It's all quiet on this end.
Not one person with a question. Okay, well, Dr. Tim, do you have anything else on your mind, anything in the way of patterns you've been observing that, it's been a while since we've talked about the patterns you tend to see on a daily basis. Any openings in that regard that we might want to talk about?
Well, the biggest one from the past 2 days is the absolute brainwash of me trying to look outside myself whenever I'm upset. And I had somebody in the office, and they were so rigidly stuck on what their loved one had done that caused all of their pain. And it prompted me to tell the story of the 12-year-old boy who was a very responsible 9-year-old, and his parents bought him a puppy. And for 3 years, he fed, watered, played with, and slept with this dog. They were best friends. And he got to be 12, and it was time for him to go to his first 2-week summer camp. So he went to summer camp and was having the time of his life, 2 days worth of texting at night to let the kids send home emails to tell their parents what they did. It was fabulous. And on the second day that he was at camp, his beloved pet got out of the house and got hit by a car and killed. Now, the parents, knowing that they were not going to be able to help him by telling him this bad news in the middle of his first glorious summer camp experience, they kept quiet about it, and they watched and listened to all of the great stories. And at the end of the 2 weeks, they drove the 2 hours to go pick him up at camp, and they met all of his friends. He was so excited. Sally, Bob, Margie, they live by me. We're going to be friends forever. All the way home, they talked about the great times he had, what he learned, all the skills, the good friends. They sang the songs he learned in camp. they were about 20 minutes from home, and they realized they needed to tell them that Rover wasn't with them anymore. So they told him that Rover had died, and within moments, he was crying, sobbing, hitting his head, banging on the back seat of the car in excruciating mental and emotional pain because his dog died. Right? And everybody I tell the story to shakes their head and says, yeah. And I said, no, he's not crying. He's not sad. He's not beating on his head. He's not in emotional pain because his dog died. Because his dog died 12 days earlier. And if he was in pain because his dog died, he would have been out on the canoe having the time of his life with all his friends around, laughing and joking, and all of a sudden he would have started crying and banging on his head, and they'd say, what's the matter? And he would say, I don't know, but something horrible just happened. He's crying, beating on his head and pounding on the car, not because his dog died, but because he started to think about how his dog went through this, his dog being hurt, his dog being afraid, his dog being without him, him being without his dog. He's creating the emotional pain by the thoughts and energies that have been resonated in him, or the thoughts that he's choosing from the energies that are resonated in him. And then I went over and blended into this person I was talking to and how they said they were just devastated to learn that this loved one in their life that they felt so close to, that 2 months ago they found out that for the past 6 months or so, this person had been lying to them. And every time they talk about it, they say, what this person did hurt me so much. Pointed out, if what the person did is what hurt you, then 6 months ago the pain would have started. The pain would have started the moment they did what they did. But you didn't find out about it for 4 or 5 months. And now you have all this pain you're creating and you want to blame it on the other person's action. So that's a theme. Maybe you'd want to take off on that a bit. Because that's a tough one for me in therapy, to help people pass the idea that outside events are creating their internal pain.
Well, what you triggered for me with that story, Tim, and that's just so powerfully right on, is the first century Aramaic words that open the book of John. And when we're told in the Greek translations, or the translations that come through the Greek, we're told that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And that's not what it says at all in Aramaic. What it says in Aramaic is, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. And the mind energy that we hold within our structures literally produce what's called chemistry in the cell. The cell biologist Bruce Lipton is showing in the laboratory that when you think a thought, that thought becomes in your structure a molecule, a neuropeptide. And that neuropeptide circulates around the structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site. And then the cell biologists are saying that the cell then replicates the neuropeptide that lands on it. Actually, I think it's more that the neuropeptide, being an energetic pattern, inserts part of its energy structure into the cell, and it shows up in the cell as what's called chemistry. You know, realizing there's no such thing as material substance, there obviously is no such thing as chemistry, but there are energies that to the eye appear to be what we call chemistry. And so, whether in the case of the person who has been lying, or the case of the dog dying, whether it's what was already lying dormant within the cell and was resonated into activity by that event, and that's what I'm talking about when I say when someone loses a loved one, they go into all this drama and trauma, and the reason is because inside of them are energies that they have not resolved around this loved one. There's the situation that happened, 12 years ago, and then there's that big fight that happened 6 years ago, and there's this big, event that happened 30 years ago that was never addressed, and all of those energies are literally resonated or resurrected from the hidden part of the mind into awareness and create all that drama and trauma and pain. Or, as you say, someone starts to fantasize about and use mind energy inappropriately for all the terrible things that are associated with this particular event. And that mind energy produces a cellular pain, and the emotion that goes along with it, whether it's depression or whatever it is a warning signal that that energy does not belong in the system. That energy simply does not belong in the structure. And so as we recognize that, then one who's in trauma or turmoil over what seems to be an external event, we want to shift their awareness from the outside to the inside and become responsible for and aware of what's going on in the inside. And begin to remove what never belonged. And what never belonged in the human system, you know, if you take the Aramaic word sin, and it's an archery term, and it simply refers to what happens when someone fires at the bullseye, you know, target shooting, and misses the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell, sin. You're off the mark. That's all the word sin means. And when we put an energy that's off the mark into our structure says, ouch. Depression, anger, fear, banging one's head on the dash of the car, whatever it is, are all reflections of the energy that are being held within the structure that are off base. Now, there'll be people who want to be faithful to the drama and trauma world. Oh, but you'd be so unfeeling if you didn't have trauma over someone who dies. Well, I'll share with you that last year we got the notification that my mother was in intensive care. She's 94. She was 94, and that they didn't expect her to come out of that. I flew up to Canada, and thank you to Jeannie. She took over the workshops that week, and my mother came back out of this crisis and actually was more cognizant than she's been in 10 years, but because we were finally able to get the doctors to take her off all of the garbage they had her on, all of the drugs, to keep her docile within the nursing home that she was in. And for the first time in 10 years, we were able to converse about my childhood. We were able to kibitz and play and eat ice cream together. My mom loved ice cream. And so I got to spend a week with her, hanging out and playing, and knowing that she was getting ready to leave very soon. She was 94. She was ready to go. She said, Michael, I'm ready, and I'm cool, and, you know, it's okay for me. And so to be able to sit with her, my mom became involved in this work 25 years ago, attended her first workshop. She actually stayed at Heartland. She was supposed to be there a week, and she stayed for about 3 months and just loved it. Did a lot of process work. We got to talk about and process everything in our lives. And so I spent a week with her, was able to just gently hug her and hold her and bless her and thank her for being my mother. And knowing that probably within the next week to 10 days she would leave her body, I flew back to Florida where we had an intensive. And I'd already prearranged it with my brother and my two sisters that, you know, if she passes in the next week or two, I won't be able to come back because I've got 30 people who are sitting in a facility waiting for me to work with them, and I just can't walk away from that. So I got to say my goodbyes, and in delight, just wish her well on her journey. And several days later, she did pass, and the only experience I've had with that is being in touch with how she was cherished, the gifts she gave me, the healing that we did together, and how awesome it was to have her in my life, and to see her on her eternal journey, freely being supported to move on, was awesome for me, and I think it was an awesome gift for her. You can't do that if you're full of unresolved trauma. It just can't happen. You can't do that if your carbon-based memory system has been trained into all kinds of negative thinking about whatever would happen. And the culture has, of course, a ton of negativity that it will offer you anytime you're ready to accept it. You don't have to accept it. And if you've accepted it, then you can begin to forgive it. That's what the reality management forgiveness process is about. It's about removing those energies, being free of. What if you could not feel hostility, fear, sadness, grief, or rage? Oh, well, Michael, then there'd be something wrong with you. Are you sure of that? What if the only thing you could feel from, which is what I would offer, we're each designed to feel from, is from our human lives, from the active presence of love. You know, if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. What if all of your feelings came from the presence of that awesome love that you are? And if you went into a situation where you started to engage in an energy that's off the mark, you recognize that the feeling that was being fed back to you was feedback that was telling you that your creative process was off base and you could change your mind and get rid of that thinking. What if that's the way we each lived? We have a different game. You know what we'd have? We'd have a world filled with human life. There would not be disease and suffering the way there is. There would not be the rage, the grief, the guilt, the divorce, the fight, the drama, the trauma, the war. That just wouldn't be here on the planet. Now, people say, oh, come on, that's kind of utopian, isn't it? No, that's the actuality of it. The alternative to the person who would say, oh, you're being Pollyannish and utopian about this is, no, you're insane. Excuse me. You who would believe that the real world is this world of hostility, fear, grief, rage, and pain, you're insane. And we invite you to heal your insanity. And we join you in healing your insanity because that's what we're here to do with this work. And so that would be my input on that one. Tim and Jeannie's telling me that we have somebody with a hand up in the phone queue. So let's say hello to our caller, Jeannie, area code
413.
Area code 413, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Michael, I'm Jeannie and Dr. Tim. This is Linda from Massachusetts calling.
Well, hey there, young lady. We have been playing so much telephone tag.
Yes, I know. And so I was eating my salad and listening to this theme today and thought I really need to just get on the phone and say hello and ask for support.
You got it.
When you said that, as you know, my daughter-in-law passed away.
And we breathe with you and we hold a space for you, for everything that you're facing.
Thank you. So what I want to ask you, or what I do want to ask you, you had mentioned and Dr. Tim mentioned two different responses, and one was a lot of grief and trauma can come up because of unresolved issues. And also,
yes,
what I really resonated with, I guess I'm not experiencing that aspect of it yet, but what I am conscious of is the grief that I'm feeling is something I've had for a long time. It's a familiar feeling, and that her passing is just triggering a lot of it, along with other feelings. And so I guess my question is, I really wanted just to get out there and get the support on the show, but also to ask, is it possible that I just don't see issues that I had with her? We were, the three of us, my son and daughter-in-law and I were on away all summer on a healing journey for her to help restore her to health. And so we were together every day for quite a while. And I'm quite sure she knew how much I loved her. Julie, I've been working with Julie for a couple of weeks, and she's been helping me so much. And one thing that came up that she brought to my attention was a lot of the intensity that I'm feeling has to do with my relationship with my son and kind of a codependent thing going on, because and when I deal with that and process that, that it'll make the rest of this process easier. Because I saw what he went through and the devastation in his being and witnessing that. It seems like I did really well when I was with everybody for this however long, 10 weeks we were away. And then after she passed and we came home, I felt supported in myself during the whole experience, and felt like I was a really good support for my son. So right now I'm just going through, and I'm so excited I'm coming to the your intensive. I'm so glad to be back doing the work again. I've been kind of absent for a while. I've been doing other things, but just when it came to this situation and the place I found myself in, this was the place I really turned to. Very grateful for this work and for Julie. I love you, Julie. I hope you're listening. I never felt so cared for by anybody as I have by Julie the last couple of weeks.
Sweet.
It is. It's such a sweet, tender, just nurturing environment to be working with her again, especially during this this time.
Good breath.
Yeah, when my son first came home and found out she had passed, it was tough to breathe. But I remembered saying, no, I'm just going to keep breathing. It's okay. And I can work through this stuff. And so can he. And Julie's really been helping me to see him as whole, complete, and perfect, strong, and empowered. And got lots of little things I'm doing to help me see him that way, rather than, oh, how is he ever going to live without her? Things that he would tell me after she died, even before she died, you know, live without her, my life is over, and all this kind of stuff. So she helped me work through that and to just put new, give my mind some new direction, give my energy a new way of experiencing what's happening. Okay, so I'll stop talking now. I really wanted to hear what you had to say. Do you have anything to offer?
Well, my first support, of course, is to keep breathing, as you're well aware and are doing, to keep that breath moving. And, you know, as a parent, a thought structure that is, I think, genetically passed to us and that we all hold to is the pain of imagining our children in pain, in trauma.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that that's where Julie has been guiding you to do some worksheets around just watching your son and what he's going through.
Yes.
And I would imagine, or I would offer that probably aside from your own thoughts as a parent for your son, that there's a genetic component to this that you're going to have to access. And every person in your bloodline who has watched a child, their child suffer, is in the genetic structure calling out with that pain of watching one's own child suffer. And that I would offer would be one of the things that I would support you in being able to breathe into, open and actively hold a space of love, and just call that forward and let all of those generations who've experienced that sort of trauma come forward in you for healing, and let that move. And at the same time, know that there's a whole community of people all around the globe right now holding a space for you in doing that. And that as you do that, you become a space that opens that for all parents who've ever experienced a child going through some sort of loss or pain or trauma. I think that would be an awesomely powerful gift to give the planet, to be a person who's conscious enough to allow that to come forward and to heal in you, to be exposed to the active presence of love. There's an interesting scene, and I was talking about this recently on the show, in the movie The Passion of Christ, where, you know, Mary is trying to get, you know, Yeshua's carrying his cross, suffering, bleeding, hurting, and Mary tries to go to him, but can't keep up with him. And finally, as he falls, and it's a very graphic scene in the movie, certainly one where everybody has to breathe if they're not going to go into trauma, and Mary sees him fall, and she turns away. And I don't know if the writers or the producers of the movie understood healing at this level, that they put the next scene in. But when he falls, Mary sees this happen, and she turns away, and then it shows her, in her mind, having to go back to Yeshua's childhood, and he's a little boy and he falls and hurts his knee. And she has to process that before she can turn back to him and embrace him. Mm-hmm. And so in that film, she processes her pain about him hurting himself as a child, and then is able to turn back to him. And when she does, he sees her and says the words, "Behold, Mother, I make all things new." In other words, yes, I appear to be suffering, but in truth, I'm connected to my Father, which is love. I'm staying connected. Is there pain in my body? No question about it. This hurt. But what I hear him saying when he says, "Behold, I make all things new," is he's saying, I'm not suffering here. I am the active presence of love that is transforming this level of pain and suffering on the planet, and I'm willing to be held up as an example for all of humanity to see that we can stay. Not the power and the beauty of suffering, which much of the church has given us, but rather the power and the beauty of staying connected to the active presence of love in a circumstance or a situation that is, at best, terrible. And
so, Michael,
as we bring, go for it, Dr. Kidd.
I just wanted to get something in before the end of the show here.
Yes.
In well, that's interesting. So there are some worksheets for me to do there. Emotion coming up. In 1984, my sister had a son. In 1993, he passed away. Not quite 10, 8, 9.5 years old. And I had been blessed in my family with some of the same beliefs and tools you are teaching here. So I got up at the eulogy, and there was, you can, I might imagine, you have a 9.5-year-old who passes away, and there's a lot of grief that goes beyond words and other emotions flying around the room. And I stood up at the eulogy, my portion of it. We had several people talking. And I had to address the fact that the only reason everybody was crying and claiming they're in so much pain had to do with how much they're thinking they're going to miss him and how much they loved him. And I encouraged them to keep the memory alive of the joyful times and the ways knowing Tommy had brightened their life and expanded their horizons. And as a result of that and the way our family is and my sister's courage and perseverance, every year on the anniversary of his birth and his death, we call her, or if we're in the city where she is, we go out to dinner or go out to breakfast, and we celebrate Tommy's life. And we do what you've talked about so often when you go to funerals, and we bring our favorite memories of interactions with Tommy to the forefront and laugh and sing because Tommy could not sing. Some of one of the jokes was that his mother loved to sing and play guitar, and Tommy couldn't hold a note to save his life. And so every year, and this last, you know, September 18th, just this past week, was the anniversary of his death. And there was another meal. And so my children, who were, you know, like 3 and 4 at the time, have had vivid memories of their cousin that they barely knew. But they can tell you about him. They can tell you what his favorite sport was. They can tell you how he loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and going to the place that would now be called Chuck E. Cheese, but then was called Celebration Station. And the funny stories that my sister tells of him in on car rides and great things he said. And those memories and the joy and the love and the fun and the energy of life that Tommy brought has been passed on to my sons, even though they were only 3 and 4 when Tommy died.
I like it. But it sounds like another layer surfacing for you.
Yep.
Awesome. And of course, oftentimes people would hold that by holding the painful thought of doing something wonderful for one who passes. And the truth is, holding that wonderful thought is the gift that uplifts the one who passes as well as those who are left behind. And with the traditions there are around death in our culture, there's still a significant amount of work for all of us to do. So, Linda, I acknowledge you for the courage with which you're facing and moving through these things, and especially with your son and the work that you're willing to do. And it's not just for you that you're doing it. You're opening a space, and we appreciate this call and this conversation. You're opening a space for everyone to review what our culture has brainwashed us about someone passing and bring a renewal to that, bring something different to that. That's powerful.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Dr. Tim and Jeannie.
We hold space, Dr. Tim, for you to breathe into what's opening, and perhaps another conversation with your sister is going to open even more, and we just hold the space, and the same for you, Linda. We look forward to being with you at the end of October and taking the work that you're willing to do to the next level. It's powerful and awesome.
So I'm just making a note here that the emotions bubbled up when I made the statement that my sons were only 3 and 4 when Tommy died, and so that will be the focus of my worksheets and my chapters.
Awesome.
It resonated so deeply. You know, it's the law of resonance we talk about, that it just went right through me. So that's what I will focus on, and thank you for the opportunity to share, and I look forward to seeing you tonight in Woodstock for another fabulous presentation.
All right, and we appreciate you, and we've been a blessing, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. Bring the strength to the show tomorrow, and our invitation is that you create the best year yet of your eternal life, and you do that by doing your work, by throwing out what doesn't belong from your structure, from your family system, and bringing in something new, something of a higher order. We join you in doing that. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously. Continuously.